God, this morning we come and we pray and we know that we can come to you boldly. Just we've said it before this morning, but I want to say it again, that I know that we can come boldly towards you because you receive us. I pray this morning, God, that Holy Spirit would help us, that Holy Spirit would open up our ears to hear your voice. God, I want to pray that for each of us here this morning, that where there might not even be faith this morning, to say, God, I want to hear you. I've got faith. I've got belief in my heart that you want to do something. Even if that is not in us, I pray for each and every person this morning, God, that you will come by your Holy Spirit, God, and that you would lay your hand upon our hearts, God, and you would impart the faith to hear your voice this morning. And not just hear your voice, God, but I pray and I'm trusting you for revelation, God, in our hearts. Revelation, God, things that will shift our hearts, God. We want to acknowledge this morning, God, that it's your kingdom, God. It's not something that can be done in human effort. But God, it's by your Spirit. So I pray this morning, God, that you would come and work over and above our words and our ways of doing things, God. That you would come this morning and that you would show yourself as faithful. That you would show yourself as true. You come and show yourself as the one true living God. Amen. So I've told the story before to some of you, or you might have remembered it. I'm going to tell it again, because I was so reminded of it in this week as I was preparing and as the Lord has been speaking to me about various things. A while ago, I'm saying a while ago, but it's almost probably a year ago, I think, I went on this 4x4 trip, or it's more like a 4x4 morning with Carl, actually. Carl invited me. Carl's got a Land Rover. Please don't shame him on that. That oil stain on your driving way.
You can go fast, but
that's probably Carl's. And so Carl invited me to go out and go drive with him in Atlantis, all the dunes and stuff. And I've never been to Atlantis, never really knew like that part of town exists. And so it was a great morning, but we're just getting into it and we're driving in the sand and it's the sand dunes and stuff. And Carl goes, there's this, this looks like a good hill to take. And, we don't properly scout the hill. And so, Carl just goes, come, this is a Land Rover. It can go anywhere. And, we've got a couple of people with us. And as we climb into the car and get ready, we kind of go up the dune. And as we go up the dune, we realized we kind of went at the wrong angle. And the drop is quite sheer, but it doesn't just go down. It kind of goes down and slants towards the side. So if we now are going to go forward, we're actually going to roll down and not drive down. Okay? And so we stop. And just as we stop, kind of we stop in this part of where there's more sand under the carriage than under the wheels. Okay, and so we're kind of like stuck. And we've got another guy that's with us that's also got a Landy. And then there's a guy with a Ford. I think it was a Ford double cab, hey?
Can we stop the story?
This is not about you, Carl. Okay. So we, another guy with a Ford. But this guy with a Ford, I mean, this car looks, or Bucky, looks like if there's ever going to be an apocalypse and there's massive snakes and zombies and, I mean, you call it whatever you want to call it. If there's anything like that breaking out, this Bucky is the Bucky you want to kind of climb into, because it's got bull bars and things for everything on this Bucky, and it's kitted out. And this Bucky has got one of these like bumper. It's not, you don't buy it like that. You put it on afterward. It's like for the real enthusiasts, kind of like bumper. And this bumper has got these two big red clamp kind of hooks that look like you can sleep the Titanic with that thing, kind of. And so eventually he had now to come and pull us out. He had to 4 days to pull the Land Rover off the sand dune. Just if you missed that one, okay? And so as we're busy getting the rope, I love you, Carl. as we started like getting the ropes and getting everything, I thought, obviously, this guy's just going to take this rope and put it on this clamp thing. Because, I mean, this clamp looks like, you know, you don't mess with even the clamp. And as we're doing it, this guy, I'm asking the guy, like, why don't you just put it on this red clamp? And he's like, no. That's just cosmetic. Cosmetic? Is it like painting your nails cosmetic? Like, because that's what it sounds like, kind of thing. And so we go under the thing, and it's like this small hook, like that you almost can't see, that's now taking out to pull this thing out. But these two big red things that makes every zombie just run for their life is just cosmetic. Eventually, we got Carl out of the stuckness. And we went on and we had a great time on the dunes. And there came this one part where it was like this real 4x4 trail, not just a little wobble key that we wanted to get over or got stuck at, but really like you needed to, it's meant for your 4x4. And so Carl goes, okay, cool, we're going to do it first. Okay, he's now amped that it looks like he's got his groove now. We're not going to get stuck again. But, and we're about four or five people in the car. I think we were four or five in the car. And Carl said, cool, I'm just going to go for it. And so Carl goes for it. And he goes, and there's this moment where it's like, and we do it. We nail this thing. If I think we would have gotten full points if it was a competition or something. But we nailed this 4x4 track. But the thing about it is the Land Rover was made, and not just made, but it had all the right things. It's maybe not as intimidating as the Ford Bucky. It's maybe not as got all the bells and whistles of clamps. And this car does have a very nice and convenient little tap at the end. So if you park the thing, you can just open the tap and you've got water. I thought, why doesn't all cars have that? It's like, anyway, so cars does have a tap, which is working great. But the reality is, we did the thing and it just went through it flawlessly. And here comes it's your redemption there. But here comes the Ford Bucky. And so this guy, obviously, he's been pulling everybody out, and he's got the grill, and he goes, no, we're going to do this. And all of his wife and the daughter and someone else, everyone is in this Bucky as well. And he just goes for it. Comes back. He's like, no, I don't know what's wrong. And he goes a second time. Comes back. Just can't do it. No, it must be something. So he says to his wife and daughter, okay, I can't remember how many times he tried, but okay, you guys come out of the car, okay? Don't ever tell that to your wife if you can't get up to a hill, is come out of the car, okay? Not a good idea, okay? But anyway, he did this. He's like, wife, daughter, friends, out of the car. Just couldn't get it. And eventually, he just gave up. Now,
hey? Pray for all the four drivers.
Now this thing actually, and the thing that made me think about this, I was walking, Helen is away, so I'm like a zombie, because my house is usually full of kids and my wife and food, and so now they're away, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. So I just go walk around in the mall just so I can see other people. It's like, So I was at Canal Walk and just kind of walking around. And as I'm walking into Canal Walk, I walk past this, shame, it's again another Ford. But it's a, it's a little Ford, I think like a small car, Fiesta or something like that. But the Fiesta doesn't have any mags on. It looks pretty stock standard. Like it's a small, I think, 1200 little engine. So it's not a big engine. It's like a city car. You know, you want something that's light, easy on petrol. It's not gonna break the bank. You're not gonna fight zombies with this one. But inside the car, there is these very specialized Sparco seat belts. It looks like it needs to be an F1 car. And the whole car on the inside is kitted out with this spark. And I'm going like, this doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? You can at least rather put mags on your car or something like that. And it made me think of this story. And early in the week, and so I'm telling us a couple of stories, but early in the week, someone sent me a prophetic picture. And it kind of just stuck with me. And it was a picture of a dirty jersey or a sweater. And the sweater had a couple of stains and things on it. And it was stains of, the person said, curry marks, grease, purity, food stains. It was dirty. And it kind of made me think of this thing of sometimes for us, we want to make everything look like it's going well. We want to make everything look like we can do it. We're living it. And I find in myself, in my Christian walk, so many times I get to that place where I am that Ford Bucky that looks like it can do it. It kind of makes the sound that it can do it. It's got all the paraphernalia on it, on the body, but it's just cosmetic. And on the inside, it's actually, it's unable. It's dirty. And I believe that that God is coming to us as a people, as a congregation, and that God is giving us the opportunity to come to Him and lay these things before Him. Because God's heart is not for us to be just cosmetic. God's heart for us is to be able to do it. To be able to overcome. To be able to go through the storm. Not escape the storm. He gives us the everything we need in order to stand and weather the storm. Is there going to be a storm? Yes. Scripture says to us, that in life you're going to face various trials and tribulations. And they're going to be there to work inside of you. I'm paraphrasing, but to work inside of you perseverance. As you persevere through the trials, the tribulations, what happens? Character is formed. And as character is formed, a hope is being built. A hope is being built in our hearts. And it says that hope cannot be put to shame or cannot be quenched. Now, I want that for my life. But I do realize, like sometimes in the busyness of things, I build the Ford Bucky instead of just being okay with the Land Rover. I'm sorry. See, the Land Rover, I'm going to knock you now. But it's not you. You know, it's not you. But the Land Rover is maybe not always as pretty. It doesn't maybe look as intimidating. Where this Bucky has got all the big frames and the big clamps and the this and the that. So it kind of looks impressive. But it can actually not do much. And to come back to the prophetic picture that was sent to me, I believe for us, there's some of us walking around with this dirty jersey. We're smiling and we're covering everything with a jacket, K-way jacket or whatever else. We're covering it. It's not you. Oh, come on. There's many KY jackets here. But we're covering it and we're going, I'm good. And there's a scripture I quickly want to read us. Michael, you don't have to put it onto the screen. I just want you to hear it. Revelation 3, verse 1 to 6, it says this. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. He's speaking to the church, not unbelievers, speaking to the church. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers, again, it's not an escape. It's a pushing through. It's an overcoming. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That is super challenging. We have the reputation of being alive. But are we truly alive? Do we just have those hooks up for cosmetic purposes? Are we just coming to church, worshiping, coming to community, posting on WhatsApp your scripture of the day, Facebook your pictures, look at what God has done, and all these things that you share? Are we doing those things because we're alive? Or are we doing those things because we just want to make sure that everybody knows I've got a red big hook at the front of my car? I believe that it's important for us to take account of who we really are. Not by our own understanding, not by our own way of processing things, but taking account of who we really are in the light of who God is. I can't measure myself according to myself or even according to Carl or Bobby or anyone else. But I need to measure, look at myself through who God is. Does that make sense? We need to look at and take account of who we really are in the light of God, of who God is, of what He has done for us, and because of that, what we ought to be doing. Not just look busy, not just look like we are busy working, but actually what we are doing needs to be also looked at God for who He is, for what He has done, and what He's calling us to do. Does it make sense? Now, something interesting for me about just the picture that came out, that it actually highlighted, and I'm sure the person who saw it maybe saw a couple of other stains. But it kind of highlighted three very specific stains I wanted to say. It was curry. You know, if my wife was here, for her, she finds comfort in curry. Okay? But curry is food. It's the things that we enjoy. It's what we feed ourselves with. It's comfort. Food is comfort to us. It's sustenance. So it's curry, comfort. Number two was the grease. That sounds like someone that's working, someone that's busy. It's not someone that's sitting just on the couch. They just will have the food stains. But it's someone that's busy, it's working, there's the dirtiness of life. So it's our responsibilities. And the last one was purity food stains. And I believe it shows to our kids. But not just our kids. Our kids represent our legacy. The things that we give our time to, that we know these things are going to, it builds towards us. Look at my kids, and if you think my kids are great, it has some kind of showing of who I am. It's our legacy, the things that we build, where we build our own name. And I want to address these three areas in us, because I believe that we need to look at these areas. And that scripture, it speaks of, it says, remember then what you received and heard. So it first addresses the things in the life, but then it goes back and says, but now wake up and salvage what you can. The thing that is alive, the things that you still have left that hasn't been stolen or taken from you, now make sure that you know what these things are, and now remember the things you heard first. Remember what you need to do. Remember what's been done to you. All of us sitting here, most of us, I'm not seeing many visitors, or really any for that matter, this morning. But for all of us sitting here, I know that there's been a place and a time where you've stuck up your hand and you said, Jesus, come and save my life. In that moment, you acknowledged that in your own heart, I'm without the life of God. I'm broken. I'm lonely. I'm disappointed. I'm offended. I am, and the list can go on. But we recognize that we're dead inside. And we put up our hand and we realize that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot make ourselves become alive. We need Jesus for that. Amen? So all of us sitting here this morning, all of us are in that place of where we possibly might have that dirty jersey on. And even if you've kept yourself clean, you know that just as much for the dirty person that needs Jesus, you need Jesus to stay clean. So even in that, not one of us are without having to change the posture, without having to wake up, or even at least stay awake. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. But now, keep it and repent. If we realize that we've fallen asleep and we've let go of the things we heard, we've let go of the things that happened to us, we've forgotten about those things, we need to come and repent. We need to come back to the place that God has for us. And I believe for us in that, the three areas I want to look at quickly, where we need to say to God, God, I thank you that you've saved me. I thank you that you changed me, that you made me this new creation. But God, I want to look at these areas in my life, and now I want to bring them before you that you can clean them. Because I don't want my name out of the book of life. In Matthew, we read where Jesus is being approached with these people that say, Jesus, Jesus, I've raised the dead, I've healed the sick, I've prayed for this one, I've done all these things in your name. And Jesus turns to them and says, go away from me. I do not know your name. Again, it's a Ford Bucky with all the cosmetic things. It looks like it's the right thing, but actually there's no substance to it. There's no value to it. See, the name of Jesus has power. And even when we're in a clean state of being, it's still not us doing what's meant to be done. It's still Jesus that's doing it. Because the name of Jesus will accomplish what He has set out to accomplish. But in it, He's saying to us, come, I want to draw you in. I want to make you part of what I'm doing. But see, we get that. And then we start doing things and we think, man, I'm so good. I'm such a good Christian. In Afrikaans, someone would speak of someone else of, hulle so 'n groot Christen. Like, I can never be a groot Christen because I'm short. A big Christian. You're such a big Christian. And that's what we look at it. We forget that it's Jesus that's doing it. And then our lives end up being filled with all the dirty things. And we're walking around with this jersey that's full of stains. But we're going like, I'm the man of the hour. I'm the man of God. I'm like, I'm nailing this. So, the first place I need us to look at is comfort. Where do we find our comfort? Do we allow the Spirit of God to comfort us in our time of trouble, in our time of loneliness, in the times of loss, in the times of severe just battles and stuff? Where do we go for our comfort? Oh, man, such a busy day. I can't see any more people. I just want to go sit in front of the TV and just switch off. John Mayer has got this song, Waiting on the World to Change. And he speaks about how we sit in front of our TVs and we're waiting for the world to change. That's what we're doing. We're sitting in front of our TVs and we're waiting for our lives to change. We think that if we're going to sit there and just switch off, that the world is just going to pass by and I'm going to be refreshed. But that is like saying that we don't actually find life and refreshment in the presence of God. That's actually what we're saying. We're saying the presence of God is not able to refresh me. Coming together with the rest of the saints, it's not going to refresh me. No. The world has got it right. You've got to sit in front of your TV or sit in front of your computer, play games or chat to people all over the world and or just sit there and veg. That's the thing that makes you rest. The thing that where you come to a place of being void of everything. But see, what we're cultivating in our lives through that is we become void of God, actually. And not void of everything else. No. We're feeding ourselves with everything else. Like we've got a TV at home, but I don't have any like satellite or anything like that. But we've got internet, and so I use my dad's, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. But he's my dad's DSTV online account because he's not the technical guy. He just wants to know that I've got a dish and it works like that. But I can't sit and watch 5 minutes of DSTV. Even just I get frustrated in the breaks of the rugby or sport, the soccer, that I go like, oh my word, I can't see another advert. So I would put the TV off because I just can't look at the adverts anymore. Because it just tells me what I need. It tells me my problems that I have. It tells me the problems that I should be having. And the moment I sit there and I'm going, I'm tired. I've worked hard. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting in front of this TV and I'm allowing this TV to tell me how I should feel. If I'm tired, then that means like all my guards and all the things that I use to guard my heart and look after this temple that God has given me is going down because I'm tired, because I'm going to rest now. So no guards are up. And here this thing tells me, you need this pill and you need this car and you need this. What are we going to end up looking like? Very bad. Where are we finding comfort? It's part of our rest. See, what it creates in us is a lack of dealing with our issues. Because we know that when we come into the presence of God, God's never going to just leave us the way we are. He loves us. He loves us dearly. And in that place, He wants to change things inside of us. Things that show to the world, that mirror to the world who He is. But that means that things in us are going to change. But again, if we look back at the beginning, that was the very reason why we are following Him. He's saying, God, I want to change. I don't want this life that I have. I want the life that You have planned for me. Because I know that this life is just going to lead to tiredness. It's going to lead me to be depressed. It's going to lead me to be lonely. It's going to lead me to be disappointed. It's going to lead me to be offended. It's going to lead me to a place of where I am in absolute lack. That's what this life does. So I'm saying, Jesus, I need Your saving. And I need it now. And then He saves us, and then we go just right back at it. Okay, cool, I'm done, I'm going to heaven. Whew! And we kind of just allow these things in our lives. And actually, God is going, but can't you see? Can't you see what I've given you? At Scripture and Revelations, it says, wake up. And strengthen what remains. That makes me feel like, God, if I'm asleep and if I have been asleep, what has been taken away from me that I don't even know about? That scares me. That scares me enough to say, I don't want these things in my life. God, if I feel like I need comfort, I'm going to run into Your presence because I don't want to lose a single thing that You have for me. I remember, like, as it is still till today, when I gave my life to Jesus when I was 18 years old, I felt like, why? Why has no one told me these things? Why did it have to come only now? Why did I have to go through all these things in life and only come to meet God right now? So I'm already feeling like, man, I've already lost so much. But now we're in God and we're actually allowing ourselves to fall asleep and lose more. Responsibilities. Our work. We all know that we need to eat. Matthew 6 says this. But first seek the kingdom of God. And everything else will be added unto you. I want to say to you, church, that God is more concerned about you being faithful than what you ever can be concerned about being faithful. And God is giving us things to do. He's including us in His story. And He's saying, you put My kingdom first. And everything that you need to accomplish My kingdom, which He includes, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? All these things. He knows that we need these things. And he's saying, with these things, that thing there, I'll give you everything that you need to accomplish that. When I look at God, when I look at the people in the Bible, I don't see them living in fancy, massive, big mansions and driving limos the size of a rugby field. But I never see lack in their lives. I see people that are know their God, people that are flourishing, that are filled with the love of God. They don't have lack. They have lack from the perspective of the world. But in terms of them as a person, the individual, the inside, there's no lack. What do you want more? Do you want the big job? Do you want the big thing to go, look at what I have done? Just to one day when Jesus comes back, see how he just goes, and that thing is gone, and it's nothing, it's ash. And you realize, man, look at what I've built, but it means nothing. And you come into heaven, and it's like your pants is back on the seat, stuck in the world. And you're standing there in your underpants, and you're going, whew, that was close. What do you want? Our responsibilities. I want to say to you, I believe in the gospel, and just hear me in this and have grace with me, please. But I think sometimes we need to say no to the promotion, because the promotion is going to take away our time. It's going to take away our ability to give ourselves. It's going to take away our ability to accomplish the kingdom of God. What it is going to do, it's going to push us to a place of saying, God, I only have you to trust on. God, I only have you to come through for me. What do you think will have more value in your life? Being able to live without God or trusting in God? Do we think about our work like that? Or is this work is... And I'm not saying that God doesn't provide work for us. I see God providing for work for people every day. But there's a place where we need to say, God, your kingdom is first. My work is a means for your kingdom. My comfort, my family, my children, and this is the next point, our legacy. My children is a means for your kingdom. It's not a means for me to be a great parent or to have amazing children or to build this legacy. My wife, Helen, she is the fifth generation of Andrew Murray. Her brother is Andrew Murray. Her dad is Andrew Murray. Her grandfather was Andrew Murray. It's like Andrew Murray, Andrew Murray, Andrew Murray. Like, it's not just a far off, it's very direct. Like, we have the family tree, the line, we can pull it. And everybody in the family serves God. What a legacy. But there was a significant amount of cost to that. Everybody in the family is teachers, serves in ministry. It's got to do with people. What I want for my children one day is not for them to be successful lawyers or whatever, but I want for them to serve God with everything that they have. And if my children see me compromising for the sake of comfort, for the sake of my glory, for the sake of having this thing and having that thing, if they see me living my life like that, it's going to be very difficult for them to really give themselves to God fully. So I want to remind us of this. Colossians 3 verse 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Hear this. For you have died, And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Church, today, I believe God is giving us an opportunity. So come and bring yourself before me. Remember this. You are hidden in me. Remember this, that you have died. And now set your things, your mind to the things of above. Or like the scripture in Revelation say, wake up. Wake up. Keep what remains, what's not been stolen, and repent. Move forward. Turn away. Set your minds on the things that are above. It means that it's not just going to happen. I'm not just going to have a thought of the things. No. I need to set my mind. Like I set the volume on that sound desk for this. I need to make a decision and I need to have action that follow that thing of I'm not thinking about this. I'm thinking about this. Does that make sense what I'm saying? It's a very forceful, it's a very deliberate thing that we need to do is we set our minds on the things that are above. John Piper says this, Christ is glorified in you when He is more precious than all that life can give or that death can take. And I read that again. Christ is glorified in you when He is more precious to you than all that life can give or that death can take. That scares me. Because I know that there's things in my life where I've been asleep. His marks on my jersey. And God is calling me, God is calling us to a place of saying, God, come and wash us clean. Come and wash us clean. But we can't sit with these things anymore. We can't allow these things to influence us anymore. Because it just makes us think like we're doing something. But actually, we're just in a dream. We're asleep. So my encouragement is this, and I'm going to close with this. In John 14, verse 21. And the scripture really this week has wrecked my heart. And my mind and my time. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.